Looks in the end zone. Look out, Tim. Spins away from one would-be tackler. Now throws on the run. Pass caught. Demaryius Thomas, touchdown. Prater with the kick. It is high up into the air. It's going to be fielded by one of the Dolphins. And I think the ball is loose. And Denver has the football. The Broncos have this thing.
Yes. You know, you hear that old cliche, never quit. You hear it all the time. I even scream it. And, you know, today it showed up. Turned out to be true. I mean, that was amazing.
Design roll to the left side. Tebow sets, throws. Backside. This is going to be Fells. Fells is going to walk into the end zone. Denver touchdown. Tebow, quarterback draw. Tebow's going to be into the end zone. Two-point conversion. Successful. And we are tied at 15 with 17 seconds to go.
So I felt the momentum the whole game. And it was just like, man, it's not happening. It's not happening. And, you know, we just kept being positive on the sidelines. And, you know, everybody was still believing, and we kept fighting. I think we wanted it. We wanted it a lot at the end.
Matt Moore drops the throw, pressure on the way. Moore slides. He's going to be hit, and the ball is free. The ball is free back at the 35-yard line. Denver's wow. Football. DJ Williams with the game's biggest turnover.
There's always a chance. You know, in football, it's a game of inches. It's a game of seconds, and it's one of those things that the game's never over. You know, we truly believe that, so we came out there and proved it.
An attempt to win the game from 52 yards out for Matt Prater. Snap, placement, kick on the way. Prater with plenty of leg, and it is good! And the Broncos, in the most improbable fashion, come from behind and beaten the Dolphins for the first time in franchise history in Florida, 18-15.
Longer open this week, and to tell you the truth, didn't want to cut any of those players short considering all the plays a lot of different guys made Sunday down in Miami. Welcome to Elway Live here on DenverBroncos.com. As always, I'm joined by Executive Vice President of Football Operations, John Elway. I'm Chris Hall, and John, all sorts of historic significance Sunday. Pardon me. Let's go ahead and just start with the fact that what this team did that late in the game, coming back from 15 points down. I think Demaryius Thomas got in the end zone with 2 minutes and 44 seconds left on the clock, and everyone who hung in and watched the way the rest of that game unfolded did see a piece of history. The Broncos also won in Miami, we joked last week, against the Dolphins this time, which is what I was talking about last week. And for those that hung in and hung on, including the players, it's exciting there at the end.
You know, it really was, and I think it's a tribute to all 53 guys, or 46 that were suited up that day, that you know, they never gave up. I think we saw glimpses of it the week, 2 weeks before, prior with the Chargers, and you know, made a run at them late, didn't quite get that one done, but we were able to finish this one up down in Miami. And so I think that, you know, it's really a tribute to all 46 guys, and everybody contributed to the win. And obviously, we got off to a very slow start, especially offensively. The defense really played great, kept us in the football game. That really gave us a chance. And so, you know, defensively, did a super job. And then offensively, coming down to, you know, down the stretch, we were able to make the plays. And then we get the onside kick also that gave us a chance. And so there's a lot of really good things that happened, and guys played hard overtime. DJ Williams makes a big strip and gets the fumble recovery and gives us a chance to win. So a lot of people really contributed to this victory, and it was nice to finally get over that hump and see the players, you know, get rewarded for all their hard work.
To hang on for 57 minutes the way they did, and, you know, the way the teams have it set up, the Broncos were over on the sideline with the sun just blasted on them all afternoon, and with how many of the young players that helped that you were just talking about, guys were talking about in the locker room after the game, how they weren't getting frustrated. They thought they were close. It was just little things here and there. One thing that stuck out to me in the locker room, Matt Prater said, hey, look, I'm going to think about the two that I missed, not the one that I made. I'm going to think about the two that I missed that had some reason to do with the position we were in the first place there in the fourth quarter. They hung in there, and going back to what we've talked about several times, making those key plays that determine the outcome of games. Well, this time they made them.
Yeah, and there's no question. And obviously, a football game's 60 minutes long, and you'd like us to see us play a lot better than we did the first 55 minutes, but there was still that 5 minutes that we played well enough and made the plays to win the football game. And so, obviously, you know, there's a lot of things that we have to work on. The young guys did step up. A lot of guys, you know, are participating and really – playing key roles in the win against Miami. And I just, you know, that comes with experience. They're getting more comfortable with the NFL and growing up. And so week by week, the experience that they gain, they keep getting better and better. And so we're seeing, you know, some guys really step up, especially young guys.
Here, coaches often say games take successful afternoons from offense, defense, special teams, complimentary football. This is Elway Live. We take your questions. Make sure you hashtag them Elway Live. And this first question from Lenny Peters goes straight to that, John. With everything it took for the Broncos to win against the Dolphins, was this game kind of the definition for fans of what a team win looks like?
No question. I mean, I think that when you look at who contributed to this, I think that, you know, you're going to go through a football game and not everything is going to go right. And obviously, anytime you can win on all three phases, you know, chances of you winning the football game are going to be pretty good. You know, you still have a chance if you win two out of the three. It's a little more difficult to win it. But if you can win two out of the three phases, then, you know, you got a decent chance to win. But, you know, not many times if you win only one out of the three are you going to win. And you know, it looked like, you know, especially going into this one, you look at the field position war that was going on in the first half with the punting, and that was really a field position war to where, you know, I think that as time went on and you look at the end of the game, the defense played really well the whole game. Offensively, obviously, slow 55 first minutes. But, you know, we did have chances to score. And as you said, you know, Matt was looking at the two field goals that he did miss that would have changed the complexion of the game if we would have made those at that point in time. But, you know, obviously, he's not going to be perfect and make every one. I mean, he made the one that counted, which was at the end. But then, you know, you'd be able to make those plays. As I've talked about so many times, about the five different plays in a game that really make the difference in a football game, and we were able to make those plays.
Tim Tebow, during his post-game press conference, had the same tone as Matt did a little bit there. He said, hey, look, I'm thinking about also what it was like out there for the offense for the first 57 minutes. You know, what can we do to fix that to avoid having to go through what we went through towards the fourth quarter and in overtime? We'll get to some of your Tim Tebow questions there in the third segment. Thanks for sending them in. We've got plenty, and we'll take some more. And before we go to a break, John, Deborah Pope, just again, if you could touch on again, if you would, how pleased were you with the contributions of these younger guys? Because this was, for many of them, their first real taste of playing 60 minutes, not thinking that the game is over until you're in the locker room afterwards.
Right. And I think the key thing, as we said, is that, you know, they're getting more and more experience and more comfortable. Obviously, Von Miller got another sack, and so that gives him six in six games, which, you know, he's continuing to be the player that we thought he was. And he continues to get better week in and week out. These young guys coming in, especially with no offseason and getting comfortable with the defense and learning within the defense. And so, you know, they obviously think that Von is just scratching the surface, is going to continue to get better. Virgil Green is playing a big part on the offensive side. As a Y tight end as well as the F tight end and blocking really well. And then he's the one that recovered the onside kick for the big play there. Nate Irvin got the hit, got the ball free. Yep. You know, so he's helping a lot. Even though he's not playing a lot on the defense, he's playing all the snaps on special teams and doing a great job there. Quincy Carter got his first start at safety and came in and really played well. You know, he's a sure tackler back there, a physical guy with some good size back there. And he's a guy that's, again, as we talk about, getting more comfortable in that defense. And so, you know, Chris Harris came in late. You know, he's been spectacular on special teams up to this point. Then we saw him get in there in nickel situations and had two PBUs and a guy that, you know, we think is just going to continue to come on. You know, he's a great competitor, and, you know, we like guys like that. So we look at these guys that continue to get better.
Yeah, Chris Harris got in there on a pass, got that ball deflected, almost picked off. And then Virgil Green, I remember he was smiling pretty much ear to ear going to the sidelines with that football. And Von Miller, as you said, six sacks, on pace to perhaps break the Broncos rookie record for sacks by a player in his first year with the team. With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. Back in 60 seconds.
Here comes pressure. Moore's going to be hit and sacked by Brian Dawkins back at the 5-yard line. They run the draw. Moreno falling, Larson, big hold. Noshon's down the sideline inside the 40. Stiff arms himself through a Dolphin defender, out of bounds at the 35. Pressure off the edge. Moore feels that, steps up, and when he does, he steps right into a sack of Von Miller. Four-man rush again. Tim looks right, now sets, throws. Pass is going to be caught by Fells inside the 5, the catch of the game.
You know, that game had a lot of highlights to it. I'm not sure that anybody's ever come back from a 15-point deficit in 42 years. So it was a unique situation, and it was exciting to be part of.
They called a timeout, and then we said, you know, he asked me if I want to flip it. I said, no, I feel better about kicking it to the left. So we kicked it left, and, you know, the guys made a great play. It wasn't even that great of a kick. They just made a good play.
Well, you know, we've been fighting to get a turnover all day, and, you know, we got it when it mattered most. Right at the end of the game, you know, we got a great kicker. I mean, he did what he had to do.
There's only as much pressure as you put on yourself, so I wasn't too nervous about it. You know, I had a good pregame, and then, you know, I had 2 kicks I screwed up on, didn't hit them good. And, you know, and Lonnie and Britton, I always know they're going to do their job, and I just got to come through and make it.
Highlights courtesy of News Radio 850 KOA. You also heard from head coach John Fox, kicker Matt Prater, and Champ Bailey from the locker room shortly after the Broncos' 18-15 overtime win against the Dolphins this past Sunday in Miami. Let's go right back to the defense, John, and right back to your questions from Twitter. Dennis McGill, John's wondering, how beneficial is it for a team to have a safety like Brian Dawkins who can blitz the quarterback? We saw him do that against Matt Moore on Sunday. He came screaming in, made a pretty vicious sack on the quarterback. I think in that situation forced them to punt.
Well, I mean, anytime you have a guy like Brian Dawkins, who number one is a great leader, but a guy that plays as physical as he does at the safety position, and to get him in situations, I mean, he rushes the passer as well as anybody we have when you get him in those blitz situations, because he's got that dying need or whatever it is to get to the quarterback, and it's nice to see that. And I think as physical as Brian is, running backs have a tough time blocking him, and he has a great knack to get to the quarterback. And so that's one of the best things that he does. But he's also a guy that, as we said, plays so physical. And, you know, it really is a presence in that secondary and a great leader for all the young guys to follow.
Exactly. I was going to touch on that when you've got Quentin Carter making his start. Raheem Moore's been back there with him. Brian Dawkins is not only helping the pass rush, he's helping these other guys back there get a survey of what they're looking at before that ball snapped.
He really is, and I think that, you know, especially if you talked about Quentin and as well as Raheem, two young guys in the safety position, and even David Bruton, who's back at safety and does a great job on special teams, but a great guy for those guys to look up to and see what it's like to be a pro and what it takes to play in the NFL. There couldn't be a better guy to be able to teach those younger guys.
Let's talk about a guy who made both a position change and a number change to his jersey this year, Robert Ayers. Jason Hannon wants to know, how do you feel about the development of Ayers this season, considering he was asked to go back to where he played in college, where he was more comfortable? Here we are a few games in. What have you seen?
You know what? He keeps getting better and better. Obviously, there's a little bit of a transition because he played outside linebacker and was a stand-up defender, you know, outside linebacker in the 3-4. And so to go back down to where he's comfortable, he's getting more and more comfortable within the defense. He's a great athlete, can really move, and got great quickness and speed. And so we have, you know, high hopes for Robert and the fact that we see him keep improving week in and week out. And I think that he's getting more comfortable with in. He's doing a good job on third down and nickel situations, rushing from inside, which he does very well. So he continues to get better and obviously a bright spot on our defense.
With Robert and Brian Dawkins and these rookies who are contributing, as we talked about, we've talked before about the physical play Joe Mays brings to the defense. Of course, DJ Williams came up with the ball in overtime. Here we are a few games into the season now, John. Troy Johnson's wondering, at this point, what are you most encouraged with when you watch this defense play? And then what do you think needs the most work?
Well, I mean, I think that obviously we still have to get more consistent on the defensive side to start with. I think, again, we're still getting comfortable with it being a new system, not having this off season. And I know that gets said a lot of times, but there's a lot said to that because of getting lined up and getting comfortable, because defense is all about reaction. You can't be thinking back there. You got to know what your assignment is. But at that point in time, after that, you react. And so, you know, I think early in the season, we were thinking a little bit more. Each week we start reacting more. And I think think that when you see guys react and they play a lot faster and more physical. And I think that, you know, one thing that I'm sure most people have noticed is it's a lot more of an attacking style of defense this year than we've had in the past. And Dennis Allen and his scheme likes to get after the quarterback and really attack the offensive side. So I think not only with the scheme and Dennis Allen's attitude, as well as the players getting more comfortable within the defense, I think that we're going to just continue to get better there.
Yeah, I think Champ is in the rest of the defense. They're listening to Dennis Allen. That mentality is seeping in. He said also in the locker room after the game how they just had been fighting and clawing and just trying to get that turnover all game. It finally came, and there's a shot that we have on DenverBroncos.com of several guys celebrating, their hands up in the air, and just this relief. There it is. There's a turnover. We got it. Let's go get the win. It's a Tuesday, and again, you're listening to Elway Live. We're taking your questions on Twitter. Just include the hashtag Elway Live. John, Willis McGahee walked off the field this week with a hand injury. Pardon me. I apologize in advance if I get your name wrong. I'm going to say Sarah Bettinger is wondering, are the Broncos planning on maybe bringing in some help with the loss of Willis McGahee for a couple of weeks temporarily? Just remember, no Sean Moreno and Lance Ball are still in that locker room.
Yeah, and obviously you'd never want to, if we're looking at that now, and we'll continue to look at it throughout the week and see exactly what we're going to do with only, obviously it's tough to go into a football game with only two healthy running backs, and so right. we'll explore different options there of getting that third running back. But Willis has been that's going to hurt us because he's been not sure. only a great player on the field, but he'll still be in the meeting rooms, which is going to help. And it's just unfortunate for Willis with the year that he was having. Unfortunately, he got his hand caught in that face mask when right. he got the face mask call, and incidentally, that's when he also broke his hand too, because he couldn't get it out of the face mask. So we're going to miss Willis the next couple of weeks. Hopefully, he's back sooner than later. And then we'll adjust and see what we're going to do with whether we bring somebody in or sign somebody that we already have.
Yeah, you're never going to question his toughness. That play happened, and he went back out there. He played a few more plays
yeah.
before he eventually walked off the field. With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. You're listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. When we come back in 60 seconds, we'll answer some of your questions about quarterback. Tim Tebow, thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Pumps once, now breaks away and has room to run. Tebow outside the pocket. Tebow's going to get a first down as he trots into the Dolphin bench. In the pocket, still in the pocket, spins away, now in trouble, but steps out of it. Tebow's running, 15-20. Tebow pulls out of a tackle, 25-30. Barrels himself out over the 35, first down Denver. High man pressure, Tim in the pocket, look out. He steps away, tries to pull away by the jersey. He's going to be pulled down and slammed to the turf at the 29-yard line.
Well, we said all along, Tim's a work in progress. It's only his fourth start in the National Football League. He'll just continue to get better. I think he'd tell you, I like, the last 5 minutes better than the first 55. But those are things that he knows it, we know it, and we feel like he'll improve.
Welcome back to Elway Live with John Elway. I'm Chris Hall. And once again, on a Sunday in South Florida, Tim Tebow was on the winning side of another big game. John, let's get to a couple of your questions that we've gotten from Twitter. John James Hostick wants to know, what things did Tim Tebow do well? And what do you see as his biggest areas in need of improvement?
Well, obviously improvised. I mean, I guess what Tim does well and done well his whole career is affected to be able to make the you know, something out of really nothing, make a spectacular play in clutch situations. And so, you know, obviously that is Tim's greatest strength. I think, you know, his weakness right now is he's still young, and he's still, you know, he's still inexperienced. And I think that he's got to just speed things up within the reads, within the passing game, and get, you know, just speed everything up in his thought process and his decision-making process, and stay within the plays that we have called and be able to get the ball out of there as quick as possible to the open guy. And, I mean, that's just going to come with experience. I mean, this was Tim's only fourth start, and obviously, you know, there's I'm sure there was some nerves there, and there's, you know, still the inexperience there. And so he's going to grow a bunch each week. And we just, you know, he's going to continue to get better week in and week out as he understands the speed of the game and the speed of the, and how fast he needs to make his reads to get the ball out of there.
Yeah, and you can see there towards the end of the game, he started making some of those good decisions, and Daniel Fells pulling in that ball that got the Broncos where they needed to be to tie up the game eventually. And the next question comes from David Gentile, and David's wondering, Tim's been – he's gotten the job done down the stretch. This is some things that Broncos fans saw last year when he did start a couple of games. David wants to know, what is the key to getting better play from him in the first three quarters? This could just go back to what you said, just about reps and experience.
Yeah, and experience. And I think, you know, and there's some urgency there. I think that, you know, sometimes I think that his urgency level raises quite a bit when he sees that clock running out, and it gets him into that next mode and, you know, that playmaking mode, to know that, you know, we don't have much time to try to pull this thing out. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the great things that Tim has, is that competitive nature and the will to win. But the thing is, in the NFL, we just got to get a start a little bit earlier. And that, and not only Tim, but as an offense, we got to get started quicker. We got to get a little bit more rhythm with the offense and kind of stay on pace a little bit more. You know, we got to try to stay out of the sack situation and stay in third and short situations, or third and 3, 4, or 5 yards, because your percentages of picking those up are much greater than, you know, 7 to 10 or even 10 plus. When you take a sack, you're in those situations. And so to convert those third downs and long yardage situations, your percentages go way down compared to, you know, manageable situations of 3, 4, and 5. And so we just got to stay on rhythm a little bit better and continue to work on and do a better job on third down. We're 0 for our first 10.
Yeah.
And but I think a lot of those too were situations where we had long yardage situations. And so if we can manage it a little bit better and manage the, you know, the plays and be able to be a little bit more successful on third down, then we'll be better earlier.
Hopefully we see some of those improvements this week as the Detroit Lions come into town. We'll get to some questions about this week's matchup and the fact that hopefully the entire stadium will be dressed in orange on this Orange Sunday. More on Elway Live in 60 seconds.
Congratulations to Matt Prater. Redemption after two missed field goals earlier in the game. And congratulations to Tim Tebow and the rest of the Broncos.
It feels better, you know, when you play bad and still come out with a win, because, you know, you dodge a bullet. And, we know going forward we can't put together three quarters like that and beat good teams. You know what I'm saying? And that's just something we got to work on.
It kind of showed you what we're capable of doing. You know, we just got to put a full game together that, and I think there was a lot of plays that we didn't really hit on in the beginning of the game, but we figured out in the last 5 minutes, and that was just enough time.
Welcome back to Elway Live, final segment for this week. John, Champ Bailey lined up against Brandon Marshall last Sunday. Timothy Cole wondering if you're looking forward to seeing the matchup, most likely between Champ and Detroit wide receiver Calvin Johnson.
Well, I am. I tell you what, he's a, you know, he's a specimen at 6'5", 235 pounds, and you know, just a great player. And obviously, if anybody can do the job, Champ can. And so I'm sure that, you know, that'll be an interesting matchup to watch. And I have all the confidence in the world that Champ will win that matchup.
This Sunday is Orange Sunday. The entire stadium hopefully will dress in orange. That will rely on you guys, the fans who are listening right now. TJ Air wants to know, John, how do you feel the team going back to orange, not just this Sunday and then next year?
You know, I'm excited about it. Obviously, I've played most of my career in the orange jersey, and really, you know, orange is tied to the Denver Broncos and really what our tradition's about. And so I'm excited about it, and you know, hopefully we can go out there and win a Super Bowl. And we won our Super Bowls in blue, so now we got to get one in orange.
Tom Branley, John, wants to know, this week's games kind of changed things up all across the NFL. Now that you've had a chance to sit back and watch plenty of games, not just with the Broncos, but the rest of the division, what's the AFC doing right now? You know, there's been Oakland brought in Carson Palmer. The Chiefs won this week against Oakland, and San Diego lost a tough game at the Jets this week. What do you see?
Well, you know, obviously, six games into it, we're only two games out of first. And so, you know, anything's possible. And that's why, you know, it's a 16-game schedule, and anybody can get on a roll. You never know how injuries are going to affect different teams. And so, I mean, that's why it's important for us to continue to take it week by week and get better week by week. And obviously, you know, we got a tough one with Detroit coming in. They're coming off two losses, but they won their first five, a very talented football team with a lot of first-round draft picks and a lot of talented guys. And so, you know, we got our hands full coming in. But then the next two, we go on the road against two division foes in the Raiders as well as Kansas City. So, you know, the thing is, this thing's never over until it's over, and that's why we take it week by week and continue to try to get better and figure out a way to win.
With the role you're in now, you kind of take a look at what the Detroit organization has done the last few years with what they've done with their draft picks, who they've brought in, and how they've built after, you know, a little slip against Atlanta before and they lost to the Niners. They were cruising. They looked great.
Yeah, you know, and obviously, you know, the ups and downs throughout the season. You know, teams are going to play better at times. And they're going to have some down times. Obviously, the last 2 weeks they haven't played nearly as well as they would like, but it's still a very talented team. And I think it, you know, you look at the organization and the amount of first round picks, high picks that they've had. They've done a good job and they've hit on all those high picks. And they're now 2, 3, 4 years into their career with the experience under their belt and really starting to see, you know, the special athletes that they all are. And so that's why I think you're seeing Detroit playing like they are. They're getting coached very well, and Stafford's coming on. He's growing each week as a quarterback. He's getting into this, I think it's his third year, to where he's feeling more comfortable with the league. And so they're all playing much better, and you see that's what happens when you have those young guys with a lot of talent to get better year in and year out and hit their stride in that second, third, fourth year. And that's why we're gonna have our hands full with the Lions.
Yeah, this Sunday, Broncos continue the second of four games against the NFC North this year before, John, we touched on, they hit the road for a couple games against some divisional opponents. John, thanks again for joining us this week. You've been listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com. We've now conveniently put every podcast in a simple place for you to find in case you've missed a show. It's simply DenverBroncos.com/Elway Live. Check out the page, listen to the podcast, tell your friends, and don't forget to wear orange this Sunday when the Broncos face the Lions at Sports Authority Field at Mile High. With John Elway, I'm Chris Hall. You've been listening to Elway Live on DenverBroncos.com.